In the Bible, there are lots of different terms to learn and things to know. One of those terms that I'm thinking of is the term saint. A saint is someone that is a believer. Paul often used that term to describe fellow Christians in other places. A saint is someone that believes in Jesus as their Savior and trusts in Him. It's someone that just has that Christian faith. Well, this Sunday, according to our church here, is called Saints Triumphant Sunday. And the message that we're going to talk about in our study of God's Word tonight is that saints, believers, are triumphant because of what Jesus has done. Our sins are forgiven. We're headed for heaven. It's all part of God's plan for us by faith. It's a wonderful thing for us to remember as we think about our life here. God has a plan for us, and it's not keeping us here. It's to get us safely home to heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love. Help us to live as Christians each day and to find joy in following your commands. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, and our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is an Old Testament reading from Isaiah 52, verses 1 through 6. We can really say that the God that we believe in is a God of history. You can find God acting in every part of the Bible with every kind of different people, and his purpose was always the same. He always dealt with people with his grace, his undeserved love. God has certainly showed that to us, and that's why we're saved, even though we don't deserve it. God has shown us his grace, and we see that here with the people that God is talking to with Isaiah. Clothe yourself with strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, Jerusalem, you holy city. For never again will the uncircumcised, unbelievers, and the unclean enter you. Shake off the dust. Get up and take your seat, Jerusalem. Loosen the chains from your neck, you captive daughter of Zion. Yes, this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. Yes, this is what the Lord God says. In the beginning, my people went down to Egypt to stay there for a while. Later, Assyria oppressed them without cause. Now what do I have to do here, declares the Lord? Indeed, my people have been taken away for nothing. Their rulers howl with mockery, declares the Lord. My name is continually despised all day. Therefore, my people will know my name. On that day, they will know that I am the one who is saying, Here I am. Our psalm reading for tonight is part of Psalm 27. Please join me in reading it responsively. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When evildoers advance against me, when my foes and my enemies come against me, if an army lines up against me, my heart will not fear. One thing I ask from the Lord, this is what I seek, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. He will hide me in his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Lord, teach me your way and lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Wait for the Lord. Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 25. This is a parable that Jesus tells about Judgment Day. It's actually the same reading that we have this week in our meditation book. It talks about being prepared. We're to wait and watch for the Lord's return because we don't know when that's going to be. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish ones took their lamps, they did not take any oil with them. But the wise took oil in their containers with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, "No, there may not be enough for us and for you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were away buying oil, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came and said, "Lord, Lord, let us in." But he answered, "Amen, truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." God's word for our sermon is from 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18, where Paul was inspired to write these words. "We do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, fellow Christians, about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." Dear fellow worshipers, when you are part of a family, there are often times when you have to have conversations together about different things. Maybe things have happened in the family, the extended family, and you have to talk to your family about it. Maybe somebody lost their job. Maybe somebody in the family found out that they were sick. Maybe someone in the family died, and if you've ever had to report that to your family and explain it to them, it's an emotional thing. Nobody wants to hear that about what's going on with their family members. Well, for a lot of people, they think that death, especially, is probably the worst possible thing that could ever happen to anybody. Nobody wants to see a relative die. Nobody wants to attend a funeral. But we know that it's a reality in our sinful world. We're not going to live here forever. People are going to pass away. But rather than think about it as the worst possible thing, as Christians, we can really say that it's all part of God's plan. He has a certain amount of time that he gives us here in this life, a certain amount of time that he allows for our sinful world. It's all part of his plan to be here on earth and to come to faith, but then he has a time for us to go home to heaven too. Tonight we're studying these words of the Apostle Paul, and he's going to remind us how you and I can rejoice in God's plan for us. And we can rejoice because we know that God is going to take us home to heaven personally. He knows us personally. And when we get there, God is going to let us stay in heaven forever, for all eternity. When the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian believers, they were very confused about Judgment Day and what was going to happen. And so Paul has to explain some things to them about death and dying and what God's plan is for those that believe in him. Sometimes people blame God for death and dying and for lots of problems in their life, but it isn't God's fault that death is here. That's the cause of Adam and Eve. When they fell into sin, you can remember God saying to Adam, "Dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam and Eve brought death into the world. But at the same time, in fact, before God announced the consequences of their sin, God announced the promise of a Savior. And through Jesus, those who die could actually live forever in heaven. They could live with their faith. Well, in the city of Thessalonica, there was a unique problem that people, for whatever reason, were believing. They really thought that you had to be alive when Jesus returned on the last day, or you would not be in heaven. So as they watched their fellow Christians die and they attended their New Testament funerals, they thought, well, this person died before Jesus returned, so they can't be in heaven with us. So Paul is very anxious to straighten this out, because that's not the case at all. And here again is part of what he told them. We do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men that have no hope. Have you noticed how the Bible often talks about death as a sleep? Daniel did that in his book in chapter 12. He says, "Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt." You remember Stephen being stoned to death, and Paul, before he was a believer, he saw the persecutor, and he's standing there watching Stephen being stoned to death, and Stephen says, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then it says in Acts chapter 8, as soon as he had said this, he fell asleep. He died, but it's called asleep. And then one more Bible verse. This is from the story of Lazarus that dies. Mary and Martha are the sisters, and Jesus waits on purpose until Lazarus has died, and then he goes there to visit them. And when they're upset that Lazarus has already died and Jesus wasn't there to help, this is what he told them. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Paul wanted to make it clear with the Thessalonians that death is not something that God planned for. It's a reality. But even if you die before Jesus returns, you don't cease to exist. You don't lose out on your home in heaven, because what God does when Jesus returns on the last day is he joins all believers together to face the judgment together. Here's what Paul told them. "According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Is there an advantage to being alive when Jesus comes back? Not really. Everyone is raised back to life on the last day. All believers are joined together on Jesus' right, and all unbelievers are joined together on his left. Unbelievers face God's eternal judgment, but for believers, they get to have that home in heaven together. So if someone dies before Jesus returns, makes no difference. Paul says we're not going to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. It's a sad thing, but probably true in a lot of cases. When someone dies without faith, you know what people turn to for comfort? Well, the person lived a good life, or they did good things while they were here, or they are out of pain now and their suffering is over with. And maybe some of those things are true. Maybe somebody did great things and helped others, and maybe they're out of their suffering now. Maybe that's true too. But if I don't have faith, now I'm not in heaven. I'm spending an eternity with the devil. None of those things are comforting. The only thing that is comforting about death and dying is what God's plan is for us. God gives us our time here to come to faith and our time to serve Him. And when He calls us home to heaven, we know exactly where we're going because of Jesus. We're going home to heaven to live there with the Lord. And that's God's plan. And until Judgment Day comes, He takes believers there individually so that they can enjoy what God has prepared for them. You and I are able to have that same comfort in our lives. We know that we don't deserve anything from God. We talked about the word grace already in the Old Testament lesson. We don't deserve anything from God except His punishment. But look at what Jesus does. Look at how He forgives and forgets all of our sins. Look at how He creates faith in our heart through the work of the Holy Spirit. And then He tells us, when this life is over, I've got this perfect place prepared for you in heaven. And it's all because of what Jesus has done to take away our sins. We might have a difficult life, and Paul had that too. But Paul had a wonderful outlook on his life, even though he was persecuted for his faith and for being an apostle. Even though Paul had all these things that he endured while he was here, he knew that no matter what happened, he always belonged to the Lord. Here's what he says in Romans 14. He says, if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Paul had that confidence because of his faith. He had that confidence because he knew what Jesus had done to save him. He knew this was all part of God's plan to take believers home to heaven. And Paul is experiencing that now. Rejoice in God's plan of salvation. It includes us by faith. And someday the Lord is going to take us personally home to heaven with Him. When people are dealing with a lot of problems, sometimes you can tell just by looking at them that there's something wrong. Maybe they look depressed or discouraged or worried, or maybe they're acting like they're down in the dumps. They might have a good reason for that. Maybe they've got some heavy-duty problems to handle, and maybe they don't have any solutions at the present time. Well, when you're a believer, you handle all those things differently. And instead of having the gloominess, instead of being discouraged, instead of wondering and worrying about how life is going, for us as believers, nothing in this world is that bad, because look at where God's going to take us someday. We got this perfect place in heaven waiting for us. The problem is, and the temptation is, that you and I allow ourselves to get down and discouraged and depressed about earthly life here, as if there wasn't anything better coming. Sometimes we react like the unbeliever. Woe is me, I got this problem, I got that problem, I got this thing to deal with and that thing to deal with. You and I can get so worried and down in the dumps about things that we forget all about what God's prepared for us in heaven. And that's something that the Apostle Paul tried not to do. Even when he was in prison for preaching, he was happy about his faith because he knew whatever he faced here was temporary. He was going home to heaven, and that's what he looked forward to. We can rejoice in our salvation because God's plan includes us. He's going to take us home to heaven someday. And when we get home to heaven, He reminds us that you and I are going to live with Him there forever. After Jesus returns and everyone is raised back to life, Jesus judges everyone. Unbelievers had no faith when they died or had no faith at the end, and Jesus sees that and He's going to send them to hell. For us as believers, when we die, that's our kind of our personal judgment day. Our soul goes to heaven and our body decays here until Jesus comes back. But we've already been judged in that sense. We've had our faith. We're in heaven. And that's what Jesus will say to us when He returns. And then the timing of heaven. It is so interesting to think about perfection and forever and the kind of life that you and I have a hard time visualizing because nothing here is forever, nothing here is perfect, but this is what Paul says about it. He says, the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left here will be caught up together with them, our fellow believers, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So Jesus judges all people, but for believers, we get taken home to heaven with our fellow believers. We're all joined together at that point, and we get to go to heaven forever. That's a hard concept to think about. Nothing here is forever. Forever means it never ends. I thought of another word that might help us understand it a little better, and that's the word timelessness. If there is no time, then everything goes on forever. And here we're geared to our watches and appointments and our cell phone buzzing telling us something. We're geared to so many time factors here, but there's no time in heaven. Here's another example of timelessness. I'm thinking of the hymn Amazing Grace, and it's the last verse where the verse says, when we've been there, heaven, 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, living like believers in all of our glory, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. And so that verse is saying, we could be there 10,000 years, but that's not 10,000 years off our time there, because there is no time. No time, timeless. We live with the Lord forever. And what's life going to be like there? Perfect. That's hard to understand too. No pain, no grief, no sorrow, no sickness, no imperfections, no temptation, no devil, no sinful world, but living together in that perfect place with a perfect body. Who's going to be with us in heaven? Paul tells us all of our fellow believers. We've all had fellow Christians and family members who have died and gone home to heaven ahead of us, and that separation can be difficult. We don't like it when we're separated from our loved ones, but Paul is telling us when we get to heaven, we're gathered together with all of our fellow Christians again. We get to see them, and they get to see us. We get to live in that perfection together. You and I can rejoice in God's plan of salvation. He's got it all planned out for us. We know exactly what's going to happen, and it gives us great joy to know that Jesus comes back for us to take us home to heaven, to that perfect place with all of our fellow believers, and it will never, ever end. When you go to a funeral service and the family is there, like here at Emmanuel, the family stands in the back and people come in the door and then they greet the family. If you've had that experience for going to a funeral someplace and the family's there and you're standing in line to talk to them, what do you say to them? Well, it depends on whether the person was a Christian or not. If the person wasn't a Christian, there's not a whole lot you can say. A lot of people say, well, I'm sorry for your loss. You have my sympathies, things like that. There isn't a whole lot to say because if the person didn't have faith, no amount of talking about what they did while they were here is going to make any difference. It's sad in a way because there isn't really any comfort for people that don't have Christian faith. But think about what happens when the person that passed away is a believer. There's a lot we can say. That person now is out of their pain and suffering, literally, because they're in that perfect place. That person now wouldn't come back here even if they could. They're in heaven. Why would they come back here to be with us on this sinful world? When the person is a Christian that dies, they don't want us crying for them or being sad for them because we're going to get to see them again anyway. What a difference we can look at death with when we have our Christian faith. And that's something that God wants us to remember every day. We have every reason to be happy no matter what's going on because look at the plan that God has for us. Look at the kind of life that you and I have to look forward to. We really can rejoice every day because God has this wonderful plan and you and I are a part of it. And someday we'll see that for ourselves, either when the Lord calls us home or when He returns on the last day. There's a lot of people that have to have tough conversations. Thankfully, when we have that conversation as Christians, there's joy involved when someone passes away because we know what God has planned for them as a believer and for us too. May God help us to rejoice in that wonderful plan every day. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We will continue with our prayers. Lord of eternity and King of all saints, all the heavens adore you. Saints and angels sing before you. We too join them to praise your majesty. You clothe us with garments of perfection. You bless us with grace and mercy in this life and with eternal glory forever. What undeserved love that you have shown to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have made us your saints, your believers here in this world. While we remain here, encourage us by your gracious promises. Forgive our failures to live as you desire, and strengthen the faith of all who are weak and wandering. Give us power each day to live as your faithful people. Father, your saints will triumph forever in heaven. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. We anticipate with joy an eternity of perfect fellowship with you. While we remain here, be with us as we work and witness for Christ, so that many more people can join us before your throne in heaven. Lord of life, the day is coming when you will come down from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. On that glorious day, the saints triumphant will rise clothed in your perfection. Give us strength until that day comes when we fully share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in His name as we also join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We give thanks to you, O God, through your dear Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be our Savior, our Redeemer, and the messenger of your grace. Through him you made all things, in him you are well pleased. He is the incarnate Word, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. To fulfill your promises, he stretched out his hands on the cross and released from eternal death all who believe in you. As we remember Jesus' death and resurrection, we thank you that you have gathered us together to receive your Son's body and blood. Send us your Spirit, unite us as one, and strengthen our faith that we may praise you in your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we glorify and honor you, God our Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.